WILL programming is made possible by the Illinois Pork Producers Association, presenting the 2014 Illinois Pork Expo, February 4th and 5th at the Peoria Civic Center, featuring educational seminars, trade show, and a special market outlook roundtable on February 5th, moderated by Todd Gleason. More information is at ilpork.com.
Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The U.S. House is rushing to complete work on a nearly $100 billion a year farm bill. Leaders scheduled a floor vote this morning after the nearly 1,000-page bill was introduced on Monday. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Frank Lucas, a Republican from Oklahoma, says he is cautiously optimistic about the bill's passage. After several years of setback, Lucas says, quote, "Can we create in the House a majority that is a coalition of the middle? My gut feeling is, and my reading of my colleagues is, yes." The bill would continue to subsidize major crops, corn, soybeans, wheat, rice, and cotton, while shifting many of those subsidies toward insurance programs. The bill would save about $1.65 billion annually overall. That's according to a score from the Congressional Budget Office. That's less than lawmakers have been talking about, which is $2.3 billion a year. The reason being that sequestration has made a cut in the savings. The Federal Reserve is expected today to further reduce its stimulus for the U.S. economy. The Fed announced last month that it would cut its monthly bond purchases from $85 billion to $75 billion, and it said if the economy kept improving, it would likely further slow its bond buying. Most economists expect a string of $10 billion monthly reductions in bond purchases to be announced at each Fed meeting this year. Dow Chemical Company today announced a fourth-quarter profit on improved sales in most of its businesses. Dow Chemical reported a profit of $1.05 billion, or 79 cents a share, compared with a year earlier loss of $631 million, or 61 cents a share. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 15,742. It's down 134 points. The NASDAQ, 3475, down 26. The S&P 500 is 1774, down 14 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Bitter cold conditions are present across the heart of the Midwest once again this morning, but the good news is that the cold will retreat to the northwest as we go through the next several days. And if you are in the northwestern part of the Midwest, unfortunately, your cold will last for yet another several days. The lower portions of the Midwest this morning reported low temperatures, mostly in the single-digit readings. A few negative single digits were reported across portions of Ohio again, and there were some extremes even in the negative double digits there in portions of central and south-central sections of Ohio. The warmer air, if you want to call it that, was already beginning to push into the western portions of the Corn Belt this morning, where temperatures were pushing up into the positive double-digit readings. Still a long way from the kind of temperatures that many are used to seeing at this time of the year. The retreat northwestward of the colder air will be rather quick over the next couple of days, and we'll see some warmer bias conditions occurring for a while. But as far as a long-lasting period of warmer weather, that is not in the works. We do expect three waves of precipitation to move across the Midwest over these next 7 days, and the last storm system may come along a little bit later than that during the latter part of next week, and each one of these systems will produce a little bit of snow that will help to add protection for some of those crop areas that were exposed to bitter cold conditions earlier this week without snow on the ground. Those areas I'm talking about include portions of Iowa, Missouri, western and southern Illinois, and neighboring states of Nebraska and parts of northeastern Kansas. The first wave of snow that's going to be moving through the Midwest is expected to begin in Montana today. That storm system will quickly work its way across the northern plains, portions of South Dakota in particular, and neighboring areas of Nebraska and southern North Dakota will be included in some of the precipitation that is likely to fall. This storm system will be relatively weak, except in Montana, where there will probably be some 2 to 4 inch accumulations. For South Dakota, though, and neighboring areas of southern Minnesota and Iowa up into the Great Lakes region, we'll probably see some dustings to upwards to 3 inches of snowfall out of this event. There will be follow-up snow tomorrow that will occur from Nebraska and parts of Kansas and Colorado across the heart of the Central Plains into the central portions of the eastern Midwest. A dusting to 2 inches is going to be most likely with this disturbance, but there will be some locations in the eastern portions of the Midwest, perhaps from east central or southeastern Missouri into Ohio, that could end up with some 4-inch plus amounts. We'll call it 2 to 4, with some local amounts up to 5. Or possibly even 6 inches. That will occur mostly Friday and Saturday. That will be followed by colder air that will be pushing into the Midwest, and we'll see a little more wintry mix of precipitation occurring in the Delta and the southeastern states. But as the colder air pushes deeply into the middle of the country, we'll likely see our next storm system become rather aggressive, and it will be located a little further to the southeast today relative to previous forecast model runs. That would include the portions of the lowermost eastern Midwest, the Ohio River Basin in particular, that will get some heavy snows late next week, and we'll look for some heavy rain in the lower and central portions of the Delta, as well as the Tennessee River Basin. Otherwise, it'll be relatively dry and cold across the northern and central portions of the U.S. plains. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Let's go ahead and see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter wheat is 614 down 6 July, 608 and 3 quarters down 7. Soft May wheat, 567 and a quarter down 4 and a half. July, 571 down 5 and a half. March corn, 430 and 3 quarters down 1 and a quarter. July, 442 down 1 and a quarter. December, 449 and a half down 1 and a quarter. March soybeans, 1280 and a half down 5. July, 1250 and a half down 6. November, 1103 and 3 quarters down 1 and a quarter. March soybean meal, 426.20 down 240. March soybean oil, 37.45 up 5 cents. February live cattle, 141.65 down 90. January feeder cattle, 171.60 up 17 and a half. February lean hogs, 86 even up 72 and a half. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is over in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you again.
Well, it has been sort of a choppy, sideways, not a lot of direction kind of week thus far.
It sure has. I think the big takeaway right now as we go over the hump today is looking at the open interest in corn down a little bit yesterday, and the open interest was down about 4,000 or 5,000 contracts. I think that gives testament to the fact that the market is just kind of tired. It seems reasonably valued, but just can't get any traction to the upside on good exports. And guys are basically looking at just exiting the market and waiting for more news.
And more news may come in the form of what the next foot to drop in propane might be?
Yeah, I think realistically, talking to some guys in Kentucky yesterday, the poultry industry is really struggling with the energy. Apparently, the broiler production process needs to keep their barns at about 90 degrees temperature. And with the LP being in short supply, they basically have pulled back on setting eggs back last week and basically going to curtail production going forward until this LP situation mends itself or we get some warmer temperatures.
So that might, in fact, hack where we see on the poultry on the balance of the quarter, I suppose.
It sure could. You know, we've been looking at numbers at 2% higher than a year ago, but I think that could be trimmed a little bit. The other thing is when we saw the January feed number from the USDA at 5.3 billion bushels, it's quite likely that that may be the high watermark for that number for the year, especially if this pans out as it sounds like it may.
What else before we let you go?
Watching the FOMC numbers this afternoon, I think that may give the dollar some direction, and then continue to monitor this cold weather.
Thank you much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. The 25th annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting is March 4th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. And along with our great panels on corn, soybeans, and cash grain markets, we'll hear Sue Martin's agricultural outlook. Murray Wise will give us the lowdown on land values in 2014. And we'll get everyone up to speed on the commodity title of the new Farm Bill. The cost is $30 and includes a continental breakfast, Beef House lunch, and 25th anniversary commemorative hat. Guarantee your spot. Register now at 217-333-7300 with your major credit card and we'll mail your tickets. That's 217-333-7300. And thank you very much for that. Let's see how futures currently trading. May wheat is 765 and a quarter, down 4.5. That's the soft. March corn is 431 and a half, down a half. December, 450 and a half, down a quarter. March soybeans, 1281, now 80 and three quarters, down 4.75. November, 1103 and three quarters, down 1.25. March soybean meal, 426.30, down 2.30. March soybean oil, 37.46, up 6 cents. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.